With Montana News, I'm Edward O'Brien. The House of Representatives is closer to voting on new rules that will govern how bills move through the legislative process this session. The UM Legislative News Service's Tim Pierce reports.
House Referendum 1 would weaken so-called kill committees by mandating that all bills reach a committee 2 days after being introduced. The measure would also allow a simple majority vote to change party stat committees. The new rules would also mean it would take 58 instead of 60 votes to break a bill out of committee for debate by the whole House. Democrat Tom Woods of Bozeman is one of the House Democrats who doesn't see this change as a compromise.
We think it should be 51. That's what democracy is, that a majority makes a decision for a group.
But Republican Representative Frank Garner says he doesn't want to take too much power away from committees.
These are numbers that legislators have determined are target for which they want to set the standard for making those decisions.
The House Rules Committee is scheduled to vote on the changes Wednesday.
That's Tim Pierce with the UM Legislative News Service. Regulators in Washington state declined to reconsider their rejection of the proposed sale of Avista Corporation to a Canadian utility. By taking no action on the company's petition for reconsideration, the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission today denied the petition by Toronto-based Hydro One Limited and Avista. The commission found that the proposed merger did not adequately protect Avista or its customers. Spokane-based Avista serves its eastern Washington customers and also operates in Idaho, Oregon, and Montana. Governor Steve Bullock said today Medicaid expansion saves Montana businesses a lot of money. He made that point as the state legislative session opens because if state lawmakers don't vote to reauthorize it, Medicaid expansion will expire in June. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Bullock released a new report Tuesday saying Medicaid expansion provided health insurance to 16% of Montana's private sector workforce in 2016 and 2017.
I think that it's time that we finally fully recognize that the value of Medicaid expansion is as much for our Montana businesses as it is for the Montanans receiving health care.
The governor says Medicaid expansion gives employers the benefit of having a healthier workforce enter their insurance pools. It can save them the expense of providing health coverage or paying a federal tax penalty. Businesses with 50 or more employees which don't provide health insurance must pay the penalty. Tuesday's report says Montana employers avoid between $11 million and nearly $17 million in tax penalties because their low-income workers can join the expansion program. Bullock and the Democratic minority in both chambers of the legislature are pushing for public support for the program as some Republican leaders are calling for big changes. Here's new Republican House Speaker Greg Hertz.
We will be reviewing that throughout the legislative session and make sure that what's in place and see if we can improve it.
Policy leaders on both sides of the aisle believe Medicaid expansion has enough support to be reauthorized, although some Republicans have questioned if it should continue at all. Many Republicans want recipients of expanded Medicaid to be required to work or for eligibility to be based not just on income, but also a person's assets, to make sure people aren't abusing the system. Although Bullock said Tuesday he's willing to hear any ideas to make the system more effective, he questioned if adding new policies like those would be worth the administrative cost to the state. The new report from the Bullock administration says most of Montana's Medicaid population is working. So far, no bills related to Medicaid expansion have been introduced. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
One of Montana's biggest banks is offering federal employees help during the partial government shutdown. Eric Whitney reports.
Bill Coffey is the CEO of Miles City-based Stockman Bank, which has 34 branches in Montana. He said that starting late last month, some of their customers who work for the federal government started expressing concerns to their bankers about being able to make payments on car and home loans. So, starting last week, the bank launched a plan to help them.
You know, your credit card bills from the holidays, another month's house payment are going to be coming up here quickly, those kinds of things. And I think that just is going to make the situation worse the longer it goes.
MSNBC reports that big national banks like Wells Fargo and Chase and some credit unions have also been offering help to federal employees. The Montana Bankers Association said Tuesday it's unclear if any of Montana's 55 other banks have similar policies. Stockman Bank's Coffey says help will depend on individual customers' needs and that the bank will work with them to make accommodations, restructure debt, protect their credit, and reduce stress. According to the Washington Post, Montana ranks fourth among all states in terms of federal employees as a percentage of the total workforce. The State Department of Labor says there are more than 13,000 federal employees in Montana. I'm Eric Whitney, Montana Public Radio.
Regulators in Washington state today declined to reconsider their rejection of the proposed sale of Avista Corporation to a Canadian utility. Montana's snowpack is hit or miss so far this winter. The Bozeman-based Natural Resources Conservation Service says autumn snowstorms laid a good foundation, but NRCS water supply specialist Luke Zukowicz says that snow activity generally tapered off from late November through last month.
So the snowpack that we have in the basins, which are near normal for the most part in south central Montana, is just carryover from that one major storm in November. But if we look at some of our basins along the Idaho border in western Montana, they did see some decent snowfall in the late part of December, and that's actually brought them up to normal for this point.
This time last year, Montana boasted the best snowpack totals across the western United States. Zukowicz reminds us, though, that 2018 and its record snowfall was not a normal Montana winter.
We were shoveling and shivering pretty much all winter. We're below last year at this time, but we're still near average in some of our basins. But we are below average in some of our basins along the Continental Divide, mostly the Sun Teton Marias, and some of those northern basins in northwest Montana, and the Madison River Basin in southwest Montana. We have snowpack which is below normal for January 1st.
He cautions against making too much of this early season progress report.
It's kind of like being two chapters into a 10-chapter book. We're pretty early in the season at this point, so things can turn around. That's not a given that they will, but it's still early. We can see recovery in some of our basins, or we could see conditions persist.
The National Weather Service forecasts potential El Nino conditions over the coming month that could mean above average temperatures and below normal precipitation, but many factors control the weather patterns during the winter and spring. NRCS reports reservoir storage was near to above average at many locations across Montana. Only a few locations had reservoir contents January 1st that were below average for this date. Reservoirs along the Rocky Mountain front were below average for January 1st. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio. Thanks for listening.